Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 72. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The continuation of the Passion according to St. Mark. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy.' And the guards received him with blows. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him, 'You have said so.' And the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate again asked him, 'Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you.' But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?' For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, 'Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?' And they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' And Pilate said to them, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they shouted all the more, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we wish to consider the trials of our Lord Jesus Christ as an example, we must pay attention to his silences and to his responses. When the chief priests rain falsehoods against him, he says nothing. When Pilate gives him the chance to vindicate himself, to testify of his own innocence, to refute the lies, Jesus still makes no answer. When it comes to testifying about his office and his work, however, that he is the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, here he answers in no uncertain terms, no unevolved Mark and Christology terms either, by the way. He says, "I am." The strength of the church is not her standing before the courts of this world. Consider St. Paul's great day in court, where he only succeeded in baffling King Agrippa. What, in a short time, you would persuade me to be a Christian? Well, so Christ before him appeared to have wanted to put the suggestion to Pilate also, insisting that this was Pilate's confession. "You have said it, friend." Just as John's gospel also savors the moment that Pilate gets to write a verse of scripture that cannot be broken. "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Paul invites us to imitate him often, but only because he was so completely stamped into the form of Christ who was before him. Would to God that not only you, Agrippa, but all who hear me this day might become such as I am, well, except for my chains. This man too, Paul, was doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. But both Christ and his chief apostle used their time on the stand to give an account not of their place in the public square that must be preserved, not of their rights, but of the incarnate Lord and the gospel of his grace. Notice how the rulers in the high places also understood exactly what was going on in all of this. They understood how these two men were civilly innocent. They even were willing to vindicate them with their muttered comments. But notice also that the mobs still got them in the end. Now, we do not wish to consider the trials of our Lord Jesus Christ only as an example. We wish to understand how the God of truth could allow so many twisted, wicked, unjust lies to stand there. How is it that a man so innocent could be convicted anyway? How could this pretense of a trial stand? How could Peter fold under so mild a pressure? He was conquered by the mighty rhetoric of a servant girl. How can Pilate know that Jesus is innocent and refuse to do the right thing and release him? And then come up with this weird end-run plan to get rid of him, to let him off, and then, when his plan fails, still go ahead and carry through with it. And thus our Lord endured not only an unjust execution, but also two beatings preceding it. That's a cruelty unheard of, even for the Romans. Where is the justice? Well, if you wish to see that justice, then you must receive the word that Jesus was willing to speak to the priests and the chiefs and the elders of the people. You will see the Son of Man, the I Am, seated at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven. Blinded by their rage, their envy, but especially their pride, the Jews could not see that they were putting the judge of the world on the stand. Jesus' words, if believed, unmask the whole proceeding as a sham. But since those words were not believed, that means that Jesus' words proclaim only justice, that is, judgment and condemnation. The eyes of the Jews would be opened eventually, but not until they saw him coming with the clouds at the last day. Then every knee will be compelled to bow. Every tongue will be made to confess that Jesus is the Lord. Then indeed, the guilty will be punished. Justice for crowd and coward alike will be served. But dear Christians, better that the rooster instead of the last trumpet should open our eyes in penitent tears. And far better that we see the I Am here, now, in this passion, and often, before we must behold Him come in glory. The judgments of this world are fickle. The Lord always judges with just judgment. He will unmask every hypocrisy. That's not only of our enemies, but also our own. We do not need justice so much as we desperately need mercy. And to behold Christ in His passion is to see the Lord's mercy. To see that just as He bears these sins hurled against Him, He also bears our sins laid on Him by the Father. The I Am dies, just as we have sung, for those who scourged Him and more for us. He justifies the ungodly. He bears the sins of the guilty. He bestows on them His innocence, a blessed exchange that is portrayed vividly in Barabbas. Now, dear Christians, we well may suffer injustice here. And if so, just as St. Paul has said, we have an example in Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, who pursued righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, and who was willing to take hold of the eternal life to which he and to which we are called. But none of us suffers as Christ did. That is, none of us suffers as the righteous for the unrighteous, as the judge who offers himself up innocent to set sinners free. In Christ's silence, you hear Him testify to His office as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And in His speaking, He admits only that He is the Christ. He is the I Am come in your flesh to save you. And in His suffering, most precious to us of all, He fulfills His office to give us better than self-focused justice, worldly or divine, but to give us mercy. Of this, let the church sing before mob and governor and king. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Northern Illinois District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for David and Barbara Bush, who served the Lord in Hong Kong. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.